beautiful people. This is the Michael Slate Show, and I am your guest host, Sansara Taylor. On today's show, we'll be sharing segments from the RNL Revolution Nothing Less show, which airs on YouTube. But before we get into that, I have incredible, exciting, tremendous news. Bob Avakian, the revolutionary leader, the author and architect of a whole new framework for human emancipation, what we call the New Communism, is out now on social media, at Bob Avakian Official on all the platforms. He's bringing his voice and world-class leadership to the public square, telling people the truth they need to hear and fighting for revolution. And he is straight up, at this historic time, putting himself forward because he is a leader who can lead us through this crazy morass and intensifying nightmare and crisis of this system to wrench out a real revolution. True emancipation for all of humanity. So don't miss this. If you're on TikTok, Instagram, X, formerly known as Twitter, all the social media platforms, look for at Bob Avakian Official, and you can find him bringing you the truth, hard-hitting, not watered down, the truth you need regularly. Don't miss it. The other thing I want to highlight for you is that the full RNL Revolution Nothing Less show is available at youtube.com/therevcoms. And on that channel, you can find the full, complete, historic three-part series interview that I did with Bob Avakian together with my co-host there, Andy Z. We interviewed Bob Avakian extensively. He spoke about his life. He opened up his heart, his history, his personal development, but also his political development. He explored the lessons and formative experience that he draws from working closely with the Black Panther Party in their most revolutionary days. He gets into how he went from being a patriotic American, thankful that he was born in what he believed was this greatest of all countries, to somebody who has become an ardent critic of this country and everything it stands for and everything it does in the world down to today, and the most fiercest advocate for an actual revolution and fighter for this revolution to bring about a world without everything America stands for and true emancipation for all of humanity. He gets into the strategy for this revolution. He gets into the future society, what it needs to look like. He gets into all the things that are holding people back, from those who are catching the hardest hell at the bottom of this society to the students on the campuses with the woke lunacy that's taking hold, but also reaching people's highest aspirations for a radically different world. He does all of this and more, gets into the poetic spirit, gets into all of this, but he is hardcore for a real revolution. And there is nothing like this journey, like these interviews. So I recommend you go to youtube.com/therevcoms. You can also find them at the website revcom.us, where you will find hundreds of articles, audio, other clips about this revolution and from this revolutionary leader, Bob Avakian. There are very few people in the public square or not in the public square who would say that these are normal times, or times even close to normal, whatever that has meant. But very few realize that this is one of those rare times when revolution is more possible. And for the sake of humanity and the planet, we need to seize this moment. So the resources I just gave you are indispensable in the situation we are in. So with that, let's begin with the opening commentary from the Revolution Nothing Less show.
My name is Andy Z.
And I'm Sansara Taylor. I'm the co-host of the Revolution Nothing Less show, and it's great to be back here in studio with you, Andy.
Well, it's great to be with you again, Sansara, too. This is a show about a real revolution in a time when that revolution could be made.
And here on the Revolution Nothing Less show, we take up and promote the leadership of Bob Avakian. He is a far-sighted, deeply scientific revolutionary leader who roots himself in the understanding that the system that we live under, the system of capitalism, imperialism, cannot be reformed, and it needs to be overthrown. It is the source of all the madness and outrages that we see in the world today, and that this revolution can be made, that this system can be overthrown. And he has forged a strategy to make that revolution a vision of the new society we're fighting to bring into being. And he is actively leading now with far-sighted scientific leadership for how to navigate and ripen and seize on what could be an opening for revolution coming soon. So we're filming today at a time of great intensifying horrors and outrages and contradictions of this system. We're filming at a time when the genocide
against the people of Gaza carried out by U.S. and Israel is intensifying. Now, more than 34,000 people have been killed. A man-made enforced famine is afflicting 2.3 million Palestinians trapped in Gaza. This is a nightmare. We're filming at a time when the outrageous, brutal crackdown on pro-Palestinian voices, especially on the elite campuses, is intensifying. Mass arrests, suspensions, all kinds of outrages going down against the brave, courageous young people and others speaking up. And we are filming at a time when these students have come back in the face of this repression with such courage and beautiful love for the people of Gaza and defiance to this repression. It's really important. And we're going to be getting into this in our show today. We're also filming at a time in the run-up to Revolutionary Internationalist May Day, and we'll be talking about the important gatherings that the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity is hosting around the country to mark May Day and in advance in getting organized for revolution. So these are the themes of our show today.
And just picking up, Sansara, on this, the situation in Gaza, which is the spark, the outrage that's fueling this uprising of the students in this country and around the world, Paris, Italy, all over the world, people are starting to take this up in major ways. I want to point to the danger, potentially imminent danger, of an invasion of Rafah, which is a city on the southern border of Israel and Egypt. It's people have been, almost a million and a half people have been forced into this very small space. And now Israel seems to be amassing arms around this. And Netanyahu, the leader of Israel, has threatened and basically said he's going to go in there. And so this is something of dire concern, dire concern on top of everything you just spoke about, Sansara. At the same time, if you go to revcom.us, you can read more about this, but also read about the kind of pogrom, which means attack on the civilians of different cities and areas, that's going on in the West Bank of Israel. All of this is on revcom.us, our website. Now, and back to the campuses. Columbia University in New York City sparked this off and is at the center of the struggle, but it's also going on at Yale, at NYU, New York University, downtown New York, the University of Minnesota, at Cal Berkeley, at Humboldt, the California College up in Northern California. The students, you can see videos, push the police out of a building and then barricaded it. The University of Michigan, it's spreading across the Midwest and beyond, and here in Los Angeles at the USC, the University of Southern California, the police just moved in today on a tent city that was set up there, and we've covered extensively the banning of the valedictorian from speaking at graduation. So they're doing all these students. This is a very important moment, Sansara, because these students are standing up in the face not only of the harassment, not only of the threats of fellow students and all this, but in the face of the universities really bearing down on them, threatening their academic careers, throwing them out of dorms, suspending people, and now their very careers. And they're doing that also in the face of being arrested, with police coming in and literally being brutal. I just saw it at the University of Texas, mounted police on horses with batons, helmets, really prepared for riot. And these students just went up and said, chanting, "You don't scare us." This is very important. And this struggle has to spread to all sections of society. And the fact that they're coming back is a very positive sign.
Yeah, I want to note that what sparked this recent really beautiful fluorescence rising of this student resistance was a week ago. The president of Columbia University was dragged before Congress in the third one of these witch trials against college presidents for not cracking down firmly enough on students for speaking out for Gaza against this genocide. And this time the president of Columbia was bragging up how much she's repressed, how many students she's suspended, how many professors she's driven out, how much repression on and crackdown on protests she's done. And she is really enforcing this lockdown against pro-Palestinian voices. But the very day she was there, Students at 4 a.m. at Columbia University erected a tent city. It was the only campus at that point that had done so. This camp tent city for Gaza lasted about 24 hours before the police came in and did a mass arrest. She called, the president of Columbia called in the police to do this arrest. And there was a moment when you watch, is this going to intimidate and cow people and break their spirits? And in fact, the students at Columbia came back the next day, and this is what sparked this wave that is spread across the country of encampments, of greater protest, and is very important in the face of this heightened repression, the heightened resistance. So what is the excuse? What is the excuse that Congress, that the presidents of these universities are using to call in the police and crack down at these protests? One of the big excuses they are using is the claim that these protests are making Jewish students unsafe, uncomfortable, that speaking out against Israel, the state of Israel and its genocide, and the U.S. is backing for this genocide, and the campus connections to corporations and weapons manufacturers that are part of this genocide, is anti-Semitic, that it's somehow against Jewish people. And this is something that Bob Avakian completely skewers in his most recent social media message he posted at Bob Avakian Official, message number 27. We want to play an excerpt of this where he skewers this excuse for the crackdown.
One of the ways in which this repression is justified is the dishonest, anti-scientific claim that opposition to the genocide Israel is carrying out, or opposition to the state of Israel and its apartheid oppression of the Palestinian people overall, is the same as hateful prejudice against Jewish people, anti-Semitism. This lie is often accompanied by the argument that criticizing and protesting against Israel and its actions makes Jewish people uncomfortable or feel threatened, and therefore this criticism and protest must be prohibited and suppressed. First of all, there are many Jewish people, including Jewish organizations on campuses, who are playing an important role in opposing the genocide Israel is carrying out against the Palestinian people. If opposition to Israel and its genocidal actions makes some Jewish people uncomfortable, then they need to examine why it makes them uncomfortable. Every decent person who stands for justice should be not just uncomfortable, but outraged by what Israel is doing. And there is this essential fact: the expression of ideas in speeches and writings, and yes, in protest, is supposed to be a sacred principle of academia, including when the expression of those ideas makes some people uncomfortable. To suppress speeches and protests because they make some people uncomfortable is a blatant violation and makes a mockery of supposed academic freedom and the right of free speech.
It's a very good thing that the students have not caved in the face of this repression. And this resistance needs to spread further to all sections of society. And more repression is coming, and that has to be answered with more people standing up and the students expressing their determination in new ways and more people coming to the fore. And it's also a really good thing that Jewish students and professors and people more broadly have been among those who stood up with particular courage to say, not in our name, and you're not going to try to put all Jewish people, oh, we're really offended because, and we feel very damaged because you've criticized the state of Israel. Since when has opposition to genocide been anti-Semitic? And on Tuesday night, more than 300 Jews got arrested near Chuck Schumer's house protesting the $17 billion of funds for weapons that are maiming and killing and slaughtering Palestinians that were being sent to arm Israel, as well as increasing the repression on student protesters. Look, if anti-Semitism is not the real reason that the authorities are cracking down, what is the reason? This too, Bob Avakian speaks to powerfully in his number 27, Revolution, the dispatches on his social media account.
This gets to the real reason why this speech and protest is being viciously repressed overall and particularly on college campuses. As I've said previously in message number 17, this repression is happening now because fundamental interests of U.S. capitalism imperialism are at stake. Because Israel plays a special role as a heavily armed bastion of support for U.S. imperialism in a strategically important part of the world, the Middle East. And Israel has been a key force in the commission of atrocities which have helped to maintain the oppressive rule of U.S. imperialism in many other parts of the world. And this repression is happening because representatives of the ruling class in this country have a definite sense that if youth, especially at elite universities, begin to seriously question and act against what this system is doing, if the system loses the allegiance of large numbers of those students, that can be a big factor in creating a real crisis for the system as a whole, as happened in the 1960s. A crisis that now more than ever, this system really cannot afford when the whole country is already being torn apart by deep divisions with bitter clashes right among the ruling powers. So, at the same time as they are bitterly divided, the ruling powers of this country are firmly united in their determination to punish and intimidate especially students at elite universities who have stepped forward to protest the genocidal slaughter of Palestinians. The ruling class is desperate to prevent opposition to its fundamental interests from spreading and involving masses of people from all parts of society. And all this reveals more nakedly than in normal situations the actual dictatorship behind the outer shell of democracy of this country. And it shines a light on the strategic weakness of this system when it does lose the allegiance of major sections of the people. And this has the potential to spread to all parts of society, including among the dominant institutions of this system.
Once again, let me remind you that you are listening to The Michael Slate Show.
It's really important what Bob Avakian reveals in this social media message, the vulnerability of this system, what they really fear of the students losing their allegiance to this system and for this contagion to spread, which is exactly what needs to happen. And I think I really want to recommend to every one of you watching right now that you go and you listen to the full message. We haven't played the full message, number 27 from Bob Avakian. Listen to it in full and spread it. You heard a lot of it, but he also then goes into and shares from his own experience in the free speech movement at Berkeley back in 1964, the shape that took, what the impression it put on him, but also another layer on how the claim of freedom and democracy, freedom of speech and academic freedom under this system is a lie and a cover, as is being revealed right now, for a brutal capitalist imperialist dictatorship. The truth of that, that people need to understand. BA gets into this. He also exposes and brings alive how this experience of the free speech movement that he was part of, what he's come to understand about this system and the kind of revolution we need, has informed the Constitution for the New Socialist Republic in North America that he's authored. The blueprint for the kind of society, the institutions, the laws that we would put in place after a revolution, where real debate and ferment is not only guaranteed the right to debate, the right to dissent, the right to stand up and protest, but is fostered. Because it's a necessary part of people coming to understand the world and change the world radically in the most emancipating way possible. So definitely listen to the whole message, 27 at Bob Avakian Official, and go into the whole of Bob Avakian's social media feed. This is very deep scientific analysis of the developing world around us, the source of the problems in this system, taking on a lot of the bullshit and wrong thinking that people have been brainwashed in and taken up, but also pointing the way in real time. How do we fight to get out of this? The leadership we need to make this revolution. There's one other thing I also want to recommend while I'm on this theme, with the so many people standing up, so many people asking questions, so many people watching it and starting to wonder what's going on. It is really important both to spread Bob Avakian's social media messages, but also we have this beautiful new pamphlet that is published by the Bob Avakian Institute called Israel and Palestine, the Middle East and U.S. Imperialism, the Revolution Humanity Needs. And this is a compilation of writings from Bob Avakian over the last couple of decades about exactly this, the Middle East, Israel, Palestine, the revolution that humanity needs. And it includes stuff that he's written recently about this recent genocide, as well as going back for some time. And it provides a grounding. And, you know, people are wondering why, even in the face of all this protest, why doesn't Biden listen? Why won't he back off of this? It's so obviously cruel and vindictive and genocidal what's happening. Why do they persist? This and so much more BA gets into. And I was just as one experience, I was out at the LA Book Festival here in Los Angeles over this past weekend, where it was actually at USC, University of Southern California, the site of one of these protests, encampments right now that's being cracked down on by police, the site of where the school canceled their own valedictorian speaker because she had spoken up from speaking at graduation because she had spoken out against the genocide in Gaza. And this school was hosting a festival of books, an exchange of ideas, and yet they had carried out this crackdown. So we went out to protest that. But as part of that, we were spreading this pamphlet, and I believe 176 people out of the crowd made a donation to get a copy of this to try to understand why is this happening. And there's an appetite. There's a hunger to understand this. If you're watching, get your hands on it at revcom.us, but also run it off and take it out to people all throughout society. This is really filling a great need.
176 copies. That's good. That's just a beginning. Look, listen, I just read this thing all the way through, and I've read many of the things before, but this compilation, don't think you know what's in here until you've read it and read it again. It's really wide-ranging and goes to the root of not just the role of Israel, which it does do, but into the rise of Islamic fundamentalism, the rise of fundamentalism in the world, the role of women in relationship to all. This is a really deep understanding of the problem the people of the world face right now, and then what people need to break with, and the solution. And just speaking of solutions, this struggle that's going on that you were just speaking of, Sansara, the resistance and the coming back against repression, it's just really extremely heartening and very pregnant with the possibility that out of the great horror of what's being done to the Palestinian people and the evisceration, the killing of the right to speech and discussion on campuses and the suppression that's come against these students, something really great could come out of it, a movement to actually get rid of this system. Now, there's three things that we need to do here. Number one, The protests and opposition to the genocidal war against the people of Palestine has to come go to a whole other level now. We cannot allow this to continue to go down the way it is. We need to see the streets really filled on this question. Second, with the repression of the students, there has to be massive opposition to this. Baba Bacon says this at the end of that social media post. People have to be protesting this profound injustice, and this can strengthen the bonds between different sections of the people, between those at the bottom of society, those in the middle of society, and these students in the elite universities. Everybody needs to be out on this, and this can strengthen a movement to actually get rid of this system as well as fight against these two outrages, the outrage in Palestine and the outrage on the campuses here. But even more fundamental to all of this, this needs to fuel the revolution, bringing people in to understand the nature of the problem and the nature of the solution and joining with the revolution, finding out, getting into Baba Bacon, coming to May 1st, to May Day on May 4th and 5th, to the RevCom Core for the emancipation of all of humanity. Come to these celebrations. Stand up with the RevComs. Show that there's people who are beginning to raise their heads just above what is today to think about what really could be if we actually got rid of this whole system and brought about a fundamentally new way of life. And so this is what I just, yeah. I'm outraged and also hopeful because inspired, of what's yeah. inspired. And I think that's where I would like to leave the things that you said, and especially the social media, just those three things. Let's go. We got a chance right now. Let's go for it all.
You are listening to The Michael Slate Show. We're going to take a short musical break and be right back.
Troubled times. We live in troubled times. What part of history we learn when it's repeating? Some things will never overcome. If we don't seek it, the world stops turning. Paradise burning. So don't think twice. We live in troubled times. We live in troubled times. We live in troubled times.
I'm here with Michelle Chai, a leader of the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation of Humanity, to talk about Revolutionary Internationalist May Day 2024. How are you, Michelle?
Good.
All right, well, let's get into this, because May Day is an international holiday. All over the world, people stand up against the powers that be. And we're bringing to that a revolutionary internationalist understanding and message. So why don't we get into, for the new viewers who've not ever heard of this before and what we're planning to do this year, as well as those who've been out working with us over these last weeks to build this, the celebrations that we're going to be having on May 1st and on May 4th and 5th.
Yeah, so this May Day, look, at in a time when things are, you know, really intense, you know, you're seeing what's happening, what we've been talking about in the show today, right? This genocide in Palestine, right? The continuing destruction of the environment. This is all a system of capitalism, imperialism that cannot be reformed. And this May Day, we're getting out into the streets and we are saying we demand revolution for a whole new way to live in a fundamentally different system. And stop the U.S.-Israeli genocide of Palestinians now. Stop this system of capitalism, imperialism from stealing our future. You know, we're going to come together. We're going to hit the streets. We're going to manifest these slogans. And we're also going to come together in picnics and celebrations. I know here in Los Angeles, in New York City, people are going to come together and get deeper into this revolution, what time it is and what opportunities, you know, we're, you know, what opportunities to make a real revolution and emancipate humanity.
You know, I think it's worth reflecting on those slogans. People can't go on like this. You witness this genocide. I mean, this is unbelievable. And yet it's completely believable when you just see the system of capitalism, imperialism, what it has done to the people over the whole world for generations now. And there's a chance to stop this. And, you know, you were reading this, the second slogan, where people are really in motion. The first part of our show talked about that around Gaza. But stop capitalism, imperialism from stealing our future. This is just like, it's just sitting right there, the danger of war, the danger of environmental devastation. So you've been going out here in Los Angeles. We've been going into a neighborhood in South Central Los Angeles. We've been going out to college campuses, and we've been making the argument for people to come out to this. But now we're getting down to the last 10 days before May 4th, 5th, and only a week really till May Day itself, even less than a week. So since there's a trial in the news these days of that fascist pig, Donald Trump, what's your closing argument for people to come to May 1st and May 4th and 5th?
Well, look, it's everything that we've been talking about in the whole of this episode, right? You see the intensification of what's happening, you know, with this genocide in Palestine. You also see the bravery of these students that are getting out in the streets and are not backing down in the face of all of this repression, that are rightfully saying, stop murdering these people, stop this genocide, right? And this, a lot of people don't see that this is a big problem in the hands of these people that are ruling over this system, right? And Bob Avakian sees it. We the RevCom see it. We're calling on you to let's go to work and act on these weaknesses that these rulers have. You know, that you know, Bob Avakian has said, what more can you ask for than a chance, right, to bring this whole system down? Here we are where their weaknesses are showing, y'all. And this is what on May 1st, if there is a revolutionary force, if there are people that are coming together that are not standing on the side. Look, those students, you know, from in New York, all, you know, all over the country, right? They're brave. And that kind of protest needs to intensify, needs to deepen, and we the RevComs have to be bringing a real solution to all of this. Unless and until we get rid of this whole system of capitalism, imperialism, these horrors are going to continue to go on and worse. But here we are in this moment when if there is a force that's getting out in society, you know, in this time, think about that, on May Day, saying we need and we demand a revolution and a whole new way to live in a fundamentally different system, and we have a strategy and we're acting on that strategy, fighting the power and transforming the people for revolution.
Yeah, I think this is an important point you're making, including about the students. I want to come at it from both sides there. One, we've been doing a lot of work in South Central Los Angeles. What are you saying to the, and what is people, are people saying to you, people who are really catching the hardest hell, about why they, about the situation in Gaza and about the repression that's coming down against the students? What are we saying to them in terms of May 1st and the need for and the demand for a whole different way to live, a fundamentally different system?
So on May 5th, we're actually going to have our march in a neighborhood in South Central Los Angeles where there is a lot of these basic people, right? And, you know, we're doing a lot of work there, but we're also like just being there. You see like the pigs rolling up and down, left and right, like just harassing and brutalizing and arresting people, you know, just for being black, you know, and you know, the people that are some of the masses that are seeing this are like just seeing how blatant it is, you know, that they're just going up to randomly to people and just putting them up against the wall and then just throwing them in the back of the cop car, you know. And look, the same system that got people like caught up, you know, look, there's a lot of people are caught up in doing all kinds of bullshit, fighting and killing each other, you know, chasing me money and misogyny, you know, like and that very same system that trains people to think this way, that brings down the brutal, you know, arm of the state through these pigs harassing people, is the same system that is, you know, backing a genocide in Palestine right now. These struggles, these, you know, the whole situation of where this is coming from, people have to be understanding this is all coming from the same system, and people need to be brought together to actually fight to get rid of the whole entire system, right? And the struggle that's happening in the campuses right now, Baba Bacon says that it has the potential to spread all over society. Let's fucking work on that, you know. And this May Day marching, you know, in this neighborhood, and actually with this slogan, and bringing some of these students and bringing, you know, these people into some of these neighborhoods, is actually part of working on that.
All right, Michelle. So any final word for why people should join the May Day contingent at the Gaza demonstration here in Los Angeles on the 1st, and come out on May 4th and 5th in different cities to be part of the RevCom Core for the Emancipation of Humanity's May 1st?
Well, look, you can actually make a difference, you know, in this time. Not you off to the side, not acting or, you know, just throwing up your hands thinking that we can't do this, but actually by coming out this May Day. Look, right now is the time to be asking the biggest questions. Why is all of this happening? Why, you know, what are these weaknesses that they're showing, and how do we seize on that, right? And by you coming out on May Day, you are stepping into this at the same time as you're learning more about this. You will be coming together with other people who are just like you and nothing like you, but that are actually getting out to have an impact with revolution in this time. And you'll get a scientific understanding of, you know, again, these deep questions that people need to be asking in this time, why this is happening, how this is a time when revolution becomes more possible. And you're going to have the impact that you cannot have alone. And with actual real revolution. So as these protests on these campuses are continuing to go on, and they need to spread, and they need to, you know, and they need to be strengthened, now is the time to actually, you know, bring all of that together and actually fight and represent for and learn more about a real revolution.
All right, Michelle, I think that's important. It's spot on in terms of people do have to get into the biggest questions, and they have to act on them. And see, by your coming out on May 1st and standing with the RevCom Corps for the Emancipation and hearing this message that we need and we demand a whole different way to live, and this genocide has to stop, and these people have no right to determine the destiny of humanity. Your being there shows you care, and you're looking at fundamental solutions and willing to stand up with the revolutionaries at this time, as you learn more about it, as you just said. And that's going to make a big difference. And for our part, we're going to really deliver this message, and we're getting organized, as you put it, for an actual revolution. And we're seeing that vulnerability of this ruling class has when they're have to do unleash such violence against the masses of people, such violence and repression against even speech on college campuses, for God's sake. And that's showing you the possibility that we could actually make a revolution. So be there on May 1st, be there on May 4th and 5th, and we'll see you in the streets and in the parks in cities across this country.
right? We have been talking about this horrific genocide that the U.S. is backing and Israel is carrying out against the people of Gaza, the people of Palestine. And I'm really happy to have with us here today Alan Goodman, who is a writer for RevCom.us. He's been covering this and he's been involved in the struggle against the oppression and terror that's been inflicted on the people of Palestine for many years as part of this movement for revolution. Back in 2008, 2009, he traveled to Egypt with others from around the world to break what was then a blockade being imposed on Gaza following another one of these horrific violent assaults on Gaza from Israel with over 1,000 casualties at that point. Alan's intention was to march through the blockade into Rafah, through the Israeli blockade into Rafah to break that blockade. He was stopped along with others by direct orders from the U.S. Embassy in Cairo, violently prevented from doing that. But this is it was a heroic thing. It was part of resistance then. And I'm really glad that you have stayed on this story and to have you here with us today. Welcome, Alan Goodman.
Thanks. I'm excited to be here.
Listen, for a lot of people who have been watching this, their hearts are ripped out of their chests. Just the cruelty, the horror of what's unfolding there. But it's also gone on for quite some time. And I think it would be important and helpful for you to bring alive. What does this look like on the ground right now for the people in Gaza? What's day to day life and conditions like more than 6 months into this war?
Well, I think we might start with an experience that happened to people in the central Gaza town of Nusayrat very recently, over the week of April 14th. The basic situation is that over half the population of Gaza, through their homes being destroyed, their access to food being destroyed, their access to medical care being destroyed, have been driven from their homes. Their homes are in ruins. And they've been driven to the town of Rafah on the very southern border of Gaza. And this is the border with Egypt. And they're living in extremely desperate conditions. Overwhelmingly, they're living in tents, homemade tents. And so their conditions are very desperate. And some of them are attempting to just take their chances and head back to the cities that they've been driven out of by all this destruction. And when they're getting there, it's heartbreaking. It's devastating. I mean, speaking to the audience here, imagine what it would be like if you had been driven from your home by just carpet bombing, and then finally you make it back, everything is destroyed. This incident didn't make it into our coverage, but it's something I read. One family had to abandon their 95-year-old grandmother who was suffering from Alzheimer's disease. And when they finally reached their bombed out home that they had been driven from, they found her burnt skeleton in her bed. This is the trauma, this is the horror that everyone in Gaza is having one-step connections to. So the incident that I want to bring to light that happened in the town of Nusayrat is that when refugees attempted to return to their homes, and there's all kinds of documentation of this, we've got video of it up at our coverage at RevCom. Israel sent drones over the city at night with the sounds of crying children, crying for help. The sounds of women saying, please help me, I need help. And when people who cared emerged from where they were sheltering, the Israeli drones fired on them. This is so many levels, Sansara, of just barbarity. And it does point to what this so-called war is all about. This is not a war. This is a genocidal slaughter aimed at killing off, driving out, and crushing the Palestinian people in Gaza, and maybe if we have a minute in this discussion, we can talk about what's happening in the West Bank, which is approaching these levels as well. But this kind of depravity tells you what this is all about. This tells you what the United States government is supporting. You think they don't know that these drones are, you think the CIA doesn't know that these drones are being used for this kind of sadistic, depraved torture of people to lure them out of their houses? And then they're going to tell you, oh, you know, we were targeting some terrorists, but, you know, they're hiding behind the civilian population. You can look at incident after incident, and you can see that the target of this genocide is the Palestinian people, and that the United States is making this happen. You know, earlier in the show, we heard from Bob Avakian, this is because, well, you heard it from him, the strategic importance for this U.S. capitalist imperialist empire to have a reliable enforcer in a strategic part of the world.
Okay, so there's two things. First of all, it's harrowing. The vindictive, conscious cruelty of the drones with crying babies to lure people out to be sniper fired on and assassinated. The cruelty that you're describing, all of this dimension, and it does reveal this is a conscious genocide. This is not collateral damage. This is intentional. This is targeting civilians. It's targeting the whole population. But you suggested that I should ask you more about the West Bank. So I want to. Why don't you say what you think people need to know about what's actually happening there?
Well, it is kind of this 1-2 punch of. I think that, you know, maybe it's helpful to describe this for our audience in the kind of reference that we have had in this country. What typically happens is a rumor starts to spread or something happens. In one case, an Israeli Jewish shepherd boy disappeared. And similar to the kind of lynch mob mobilizations that were so predominant in the South in Jim Crow days, a mob gathers, no one needs to know what really happened, what instigated it, did anything really happen? Anything can set off a spark, and a mob of heavily armed settlers descends on overwhelmingly defenseless Palestinian people in the West Bank. And just to set the stage geographically, Israel in its entirety is built on land stolen through terrorist ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people. But in the first stage of that ethnic cleansing, the area to the west bank of the Jordan River on the east edge of Israel, away from the Mediterranean Sea, was set aside for Palestinians, as was the Gaza Strip. So these two areas were then occupied by war illegally by Israel. So that's why the West Bank is referred to as the occupied territory. And Israel has been conducting sort of slow-scale terrorist ethnic cleansing ever since. Tens of thousands of settlers have been moved in, sometimes through legal means like purchasing land, often just by terrorizing the Palestinian people, driving them off. So you have now the West Bank all broken up by Israeli settlements. Some of them are just like big suburban communities. They're connected by roads that Palestinians are not allowed to go on. Palestinian people live in walled off, really outdoor prisons in the West Bank. That was before October 7th. After October 7th, even the relative, and I say relative, ability of Palestinian people to lead lives, to grow food, to engage in social events, to have shops, has been targeted with an escalating and furious rampage by Israeli settlers and the Israeli military. So the settler terror now is so pervasive that a woman who was interviewed that we quoted in our coverage at RevCom said, There is no place in the West Bank safe from the settlers. Mm-hmm. So you put one and one together here. There is no place within the entirety of historic Palestine that is safe for a Palestinian person. And this is escalating. And I think, you know, now we need, incredible as it may seem, as hard as it may be to wrap our heads around this, it now appears that things could go to a whole other level with an invasion of Rafah, which would really, again, it's hard. What could be worse than this? That could.
Alan, it's a horrific situation on the ground there that you're describing. It's so important that you have been bringing it alive on the pages of RevCom.us. It's so important that you took the time to share it with our viewers here at the Revolution Nothing Less show. I want to thank you for making the time and hope to have you back sometime to fill in more of this.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity.
Now, there is so much happening that we were not able to, so many outrages happening. I mean, around abortion rights, around the climate crisis, so much more that's happening that we have not had the chance to cover in today's show. So I want to recommend to you to go to revcom.us, our website, to definitely follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. He's speaking to big questions. Also, questions of basketball, human nature, big overarching questions that people have about the revolution and why things are the way they are. Definitely follow that.
And that brings us to the end of another show here at the Michael Slate Show. I'd like to thank Andy Z and everybody at the Revolution Nothing Less Show, my assistant producer, Henry Carson, and all of you for tuning in. And again, check out the RevComs on YouTube at youtube.com/TheRevComs and follow at Bob Avakian Official on all your social media platforms. And remember, the problem is not human nature, it is the nature of the system. Through a real revolution, a better world is possible. My name is Sansara Taylor. I'll talk to you again next week. Transmissions will resume. I try to push, try to keep us all down.